And we continue this morning on our theme, exploring the Lord's Prayer, possibly some of the most famous words of Scripture. Maybe you know this off by heart. Maybe these are the words that you have said many times before in your life. Maybe the school that you went to, you said this every day. Maybe you've been part of a church where this prayer has been prayed regularly. Maybe this is part of your everyday walk with God, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. And as a church, we want to find out, how do we get better at praying? How do we learn to pray more the things of God? So we go to the words that Jesus said, this then is how you should pray. And we find it in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And we're actually going to read the words together. If you've got a Bible with you, and Jaden, have you got the words, the PowerPoint? They should come up on the screen as well for you. We're going to read the words together that Jesus taught us to pray himself. Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9, it says, this then is how you should pray. If you know it, say the words. If not, the words will pop up any moment now. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this prayer is a prayer of two halves, really. The first half of this prayer is all about lifting high the name of God, speaking out how holy God is. Hallowed be your name. You are holy. You are mighty. You are lifted up. And Lord God, you are so holy. Would the things of God come to the things of earth as well? It's what we call a doxology, a community of people gathering together to lift high the name of God. But then the second half of the prayer goes from a doxology to what we call a petition, a crying out for God for our own needs. And it starts with three lines then of petition, of crying out, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Showing that God is concerned with the physical and material and spiritual needs of our lives. We cry out to him, we praise him. But then we can also ask him for the things that we need. And Jesus was speaking to Jewish people, people who would have known the Old Testament scriptures. And Matthew's gospel was written primarily and initially for the Jewish nation to show that Jesus is the one who fulfills the prophecy of the Old Testament, that he is the Messiah. And so when Jesus uses a phrase like, give us this day our daily bread, those hearing him would have straight away thought of Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites, the chosen people of God, had been in Egypt. They'd been enslaved in Egypt for many years. And God, through a man called Moses, leads the Israelites out of Egypt, but not into the promised land, but into the wilderness. And the Israelites, they cry out. They say, why did you bring us? Why did you bring us out of a place of slavery where we could eat meat every day to a place of the wilderness where we have nothing to eat? And so Moses cries out to God, and God provides manna, daily bread for the people to eat. Each morning they wake up and this manna, this bread is on the ground, and each family, they gather it up, and no family has too much, no family has too little. But if they keep it until the next day, other than the Sabbath day, it's full of maggots and it's stinking and it's gone off. It was a daily provision of God. And so when Jesus speaks these words to those listening, straight away they knew what it meant to have the daily provision of God. Not something to carry on, not a one-off prayer that would last a lifetime, but the importance of daily coming before God to see the needs of him, of those people met. And there's three key things in this, I think, in this short line that we're looking at today. Give us this day our daily bread. Firstly, give. Give shows us that all things come from God. We don't go and ask someone for something if we don't first think they have it. I have never gone to PC World to get a Big Mac. When we say give, it's because we recognize that the one who gives is the one where the things come from. So we go to God and we say, give us this day our daily bread, recognizing that all things come from God. The next word that's key, daily. Daily shows a trust and a dependence on the God who made us, a recognition that he is God and we are not. And so daily, we need to come before him. And then thirdly, bread. That shows the provision of what we need. And the context really of that word bread just meant solid food, sustenance, the thing that would sustain you day in, day out, the thing that would give life. And if we look at the Greek for that word daily, it's a word that only appears in this one time in the New Testament, epiosios. It's probably not pronounced that way, but what it meant was needed for existence. Jesus was saying, pray to God daily for the thing you need for your existence. And bread may sound boring, but the reality is that food gives us life. We don't survive too long without food. And in the same way, the daily bread, the things of God, are needed for our life eternally. As important as solid food is for our bodies, so is Jesus for our soul. My question this morning is this: are you spiritually starving today? Are you spiritually starving today? Are you searching for something deep within? Are you hungry for something, for some kind of fulfillment, but you're just not sure where it is? Maybe you've tried getting as much money as you can or the best job that you possibly can. Maybe it's the grades that you get. Maybe it's family, whatever it may be. But maybe deep within there's still a longing for something. Are you spiritually starving today? Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Don't waste your life on the stuff when Jesus says, I am here for eternity. Verse 35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus doesn't mean physically, but he means spiritually. Are you spiritually starving today? Are you longing for something deeper, but you don't know what it is? Maybe the thing you need is Jesus. Or maybe you've been a Christian for many years and you feel like you're spiritually starving as well today. Maybe that's because, as it says in Hebrews, you're only on spiritual milk, like a baby. Maybe you come and get fed on a Sunday, but you don't feed yourself through the week. Are you spiritually starving today? Jesus teaches us to ask for the daily provision of God as he reveals his plans to us. It's not a selfish thing for us to ask for daily bread, for God to provide into our lives, because it shows a dependency and a trust in the one who all things come from. And if God is willing to provide even our most basic needs in bread, how much more will he provide for all our needs when we ask him? And this morning, to help us understand this prayer a little bit more, we're going to drop an anchor in a particular text this morning and ask God to speak to us through it. And it's the story of somebody else in the Bible who experienced the daily provision of God. So if you've got a Bible with you this morning, please join me in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17. And just as you're finding that, the nation of Israel had had a series of kings, a king called Saul who didn't do particularly well before God, a king called David who had a heart after God, and the nation of Israel grew greatly in that time. David's son Solomon takes over as king, and life starts well for him, but he doesn't finish well. And Solomon's son takes over as the next king, and from then on there's a series of kings that just don't lead the people of Israel in the way of God. In fact, they lead them away from God. And Elijah is the first in a whole series of prophets who go to the kings of Israel to call to them to say it's time to turn back to the people of God. And the king at the time is a king called Ahab. And Elijah goes to him and says, you need to turn back to God. And until you do, there's going to be a great drought in the land. There will be no rain in the land. And Elijah goes and God leads him to a brook where he drinks from the brook and ravens bring him food. But then because there's no rain in the land, the brook dries up. And so God says to Elijah, it's time to move on. And that's where we pick the story up today. 1 Kings chapter 17 from verse 7. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replies, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Three things to draw out of this today, that when we ask God for daily bread, we are called to ask courageously. Secondly, when we see the provision of God, we are to follow obediently. And thirdly, we are called to be a people who expect more. Firstly, we are called to ask courageously. There's a great drought in the land where Elijah finds himself. And sometimes in life as humans, we find ourselves in a season of drought, a season where life just doesn't seem to be working out the way that we want it to. Things may seem difficult, or it seems like God is far off in some way. Everything seems to be going wrong. And we find ourselves in a season of drought, a season that is incredibly difficult. And Elijah is in this season of physical drought in the land, and he sees a widow walk past him. And what's the key thing Elijah does? He asks. If we want to see the provision of God, if we are in a season of drought and we need God to help us and break into our life, the key thing that we need to do is ask. I wonder how many times we try and figure things out for ourselves, and then eventually we pray when things get really bad. When God says, pray, give us this day our daily bread. First go to ask him, and then we will see the provision. The language Jesus uses, give us this day our daily bread, shows an importance of daily asking God for the things that we need in our lives. How much time do we spend worrying about stuff because we haven't first asked God? How much time do we spend anxious or concerned about stuff because we haven't prayed about it first? Philippians 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We first need to pray, to ask courageously, that God will give us the daily provision to lead us to the place where he wants us to be. We have a fantastic cafe here. If you're visiting, by the way, I'd encourage you to come along Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday morning at some point. The food is great. And on Tuesday morning this week, certainly for the first time in my season here, we actually had to evict a couple of people from our cafe this week. And I was sat there at my desk. I was writing this message, funny enough, and Elaine, who leads the team on a Tuesday morning, was outside, and she kind of beckoned me to come outside. So I go outside, and there is Elaine and DJ outside with our two evictees from the cafe. And it turned out that two ducks had walked into our cafe on Tuesday morning. There's a picture up on the screen there of Elaine. Flattering picture of you there, Elaine. I must say, I caught that well, didn't I? You know, our food hygiene rating wouldn't have gone particularly well if we'd seen the ducks in there. But how do you get ducks out of a building? You have to leave a trail of bread. So Elaine and DJ are outside with a trail of bread to get the ducks outside the building. If we want God to lead us and guide us in our lives, we need to ask him for a daily provision of bread to lead us. The other thing I love about this, we had to use the bread to get the ducks out of the doors of the church. Maybe sometimes God gives us daily provision of bread to get us outside the walls of our building, to the place where he wants us to be. When we ask God courageously, he will provide exactly what we need to lead us to the place he wants us to be. Sometimes it's just going to be one step, one piece of bread at a time. Sometimes he will lead us to a place of peace. Sometimes it will be to a place outside of our comfort zone. But the key thing is to each day follow the trail of daily bread that God leads us into through our lives. Verse 10, Elijah sees the widow. And he shouts to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? Just think about how outrageous that was for a minute. There's been a drought in the land, and he asks somebody else to get him a glass of water. Not only that, she goes on her way to find some water, and he shouts after her, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Just put yourself in Elijah's shoes for a minute. There's a drought in the land, but Elijah's actually seen some provision through the brook and the ravens, and he sees a widow. And in that day and age and that society, a widow was really seen as someone in a second-class way because she didn't have a husband who would provide for her. She would have had no means of provision. Because there'd been a drought in the land, there would have been no crops in the land. And what would usually happen is the widows would glean the edges of the field, but there wouldn't have been anything left. Her son was too young to provide for her, so she had nothing. And God whispers to Elijah, go and ask that woman. Go and ask that woman. Now, if I was Elijah, I'd have said, can't you send me to the rich man instead? Or can't you like provide some money and I'll just go the chippy myself? In fact, give me double and I'll give her some chips. But God says, ask the widow for provision. Why was Elijah so bold? Why did he ask so courageously? Because he'd already seen the provision of God in his life. A few verses earlier from before we read, he had seen the provision of God in his life. Maybe you've seen the provision of God in your life. And as we see the provision of God, it should raise our faith. We should be caused to ask more courageously because we have seen the provision of God in our lives. We need to be more bold in asking for God to do things. If you're sick and you want to be healed, ask God to heal you. If you're lonely, ask God to provide for your needs. If you're hurting, ask God for comfort. And if you don't want to do that alone, we'll have people at the end who can do that with you. God knows what we want in advance, but he loves when we ask courageously. When we enter the throne room of heaven and present our requests to God, it shows a dependence in the one who created all things. But do we really trust him enough today? If we trusted him enough, we would ask more courageously. Secondly, when we see the provision of God, we're called to follow obediently. From verse 12, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Out of a moment of hopelessness, the widow chooses to follow obediently. She was willing to give everything she had in order to see something of God move. The reality is she didn't even know whether she would see the provision of God. But that's the definition of faith, isn't it? Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? How can we be sure of something we don't see? But faith is about first taking the step and then seeing the provision of God. It's just like the manna in the desert. They had to go out and collect it each day. They didn't collect too much. They just had to trust that the next day it would be there. Imagine that widow as she's kneading that bread. She tips in her flour. She puts it back on the shelf and the volume of flour hasn't gone down. And so she pours in the olive oil and she keeps kneading. The amount of olive oil is still there. But every loaf of bread that she bakes, it could have been her last. But she chose to have faith to keep going. Each one could have been the last. Do we realize that each day we have on this earth could be our last? The Lord could return tomorrow. Or we could be hit by a bus, but we don't mention that as much. But the reality is each day in this life could be our last. Are we living a life to make a difference? Are we living a life under the purposes of God to see him do great and incredible things through our lives? Are we living a life wholeheartedly for him? Maybe you're here today and you know that God has called you to step out and do something out of your comfort zone, something that you don't really want to do, something that is a big decision or a bold decision. And in all reality, to be honest, you've been putting it off. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 12 says, therefore, since we have such a hope in Jesus, we are very bold. We are called to be people who boldly follow God, who trust him, not knowing what the future may be. Because when we don't know what the future holds, we know that God holds the future. I don't know if that's you. If you're the person who you're thinking, I know God's calling me to do something, but I just don't want to do it. Do you know what the best way to make sure you do it is? Tell someone else. Tell someone else, because I can guarantee they'll keep asking you until you do it. But also, that's what it says to do in the Bible. Hebrews 10 from verse 23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. That's the first thing. If God has called you to do something, keep focused on him. Secondly, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Keep focused on God, but secondly, keep encouraging one another, build one another up. It's why we gather together as the church. It's never easy stepping outside of our comfort zone, but the most common promise in Scripture is, do not fear, I will be with you. Isaiah 41 verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's provision is so much greater than our fear. If we want to overcome fear, it's by faith. If we want to overcome worry, it's by worship. Ask courageously, follow obediently. And thirdly, I think we are called to be people who expect more. The widow had stepped out in faith. She had given everything she had. And for a season, everything was going well. The oil was full, the flour was full, and all seemed good. Then all of a sudden, things started to change. From verse 17, it says, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? Did you come to remind me of my sin and to kill my son? Give me your son, Elijah replied. He took him from her arms, carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, have you brought tragedy even on this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die? He asked courageously. Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried out to the Lord, Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him. The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Now, God doesn't call us to be fair weather Christians, to be the glasses half full, the glasses full, everything's good Christians. He calls us to follow him when things are good and also when things are difficult. He calls us to be obedient to him and to trust in him, even in the most difficult moments. And for the widow, things had gone south really quickly. She'd gone from a place of provision to a place of poverty. All of her hopes for the future, that this son would grow up, that he would be the one that would provide for her, that he would be the one that would give her status once again, in a moment, all of those hopes were dashed. And she goes from a place of provision to a place of poverty. And she cries out in despair, what do you want with me, man of God? She blames God in that moment for the thing that goes wrong. I wonder if we ever do the same. I wonder if we go through life and when things are good, we're like, God is good, life is good. But when things get difficult, the first thing we do is go, God, why is this happening to me? Why is it so much easier for other people but not for me? Or God, where are you in this? Do you even exist anymore? God, I can't see you, I can't feel you, I don't understand it. When actually the one thing that she should have done was ask courageously. You know, she had Elijah living in her house, the man who said, bake me some bread and you will see more. She must have been one of the only people in that land who had stuff to eat every day because of the provision of God, because of this man who told her to do so. Elijah was nicknamed the man of God. She had the man of God living in her house, and the one thing that she didn't think to do was ask. We have the God of the universe living within us, and the one thing we often forget to do is ask. How many times do we make decisions in life to do things and then say, God, will you bless what I'm planning to do? When God is saying, first seek me, ask me for the daily bread provision and then follow me. Seek me first. The thing she forgot to do was to ask. Sometimes I think God has the provision right in front of us, but we just miss it because we don't choose to see what he's doing and saying. As it's Noah's dedication, it's probably time for Noah's first preach story, isn't it? Noah's just at that phase where he's learning to eat properly. He's moved from liquid and from milk onto solid food. And you know, one day when your children grow up and they teach you how to use technology and they feel really smug because they know how to use your phone better than you, remind them one day, I taught you how to use a spoon. So Noah's trying to eat at the minute, and we're starting to realize there's certain foods that he likes and certain foods that he doesn't like. And if you've had children, you know the kind of the thing you have to do here. You have the spoon there, you sat on the high chair, you're prepared that more food will be on the face than it will be in the mouth. And you have to learn to do that thing because babies have lightning quick reactions, don't they? The spoon is an inch away from their mouth and they go, and you go, oh. And so you re-angle yourself and you get ready again, you load your spoon up and you're ready to go and they go, mm-mm. and the food goes everywhere. Well, Noah started doing this, and so you have to learn as a parent that you know that if there's like a millimeter gap, that spoon is going in there. And so you have to teach them to laugh. So you do something to make them laugh. They open their mouth to smile, and you go, bang, I got it in. Yes. And I've discovered that Noah likes certain things, and he doesn't like certain things, and Noah's now learned that he can laugh without opening his mouth. So there's certain things that he likes. He likes things like carrots and parsnips and yogurts and the sweet things. He doesn't really like things like broccoli and cauliflower. So I've been trying to trick him. I've been trying to mix things together and give him one spoon of one and one spoon of the other, and it just doesn't work. So the other night, he managed to have two spoons worth of food in his mouth, sweet potato and broccoli. He swallowed the sweet potato and dribbled the broccoli. How did he do that? So last night, I thought, I'm going to trick him. I'm going to make him custard, because he likes sweet things. It wasn't custard. It was cauliflower. It was cauliflower. I had to get the consistency right, and I'm there. And I'm like, oh, have some custard. And I'm there, and he goes, mm-mm. And eventually I get it in, and he's like, oh, what is this? How many times has God got provision in front of our mouths? He's got something ready for us, and we go, mm-mm. Bah. How many times do we miss the custard because we think it's cauliflower? How many times do we not do the things of God because we're afraid of what the future may be? Or maybe we've had a bad experience in our past, and so we choose to ignore rather than to follow what God is saying. Sometimes God has the answer, but we choose to not listen. How many times have we missed the miraculous provision of God because it didn't seem to fit with our agenda or our taste? How many times do we purse our lips and go, mm, when God is saying, it may seem tough now, but trust me for the future? I wonder how many times we limit daily bread to literally just that dry, stodgy stuff that really isn't all that good for us. When God is saying, I've got the best bread for you, and even more so than that, dip it in oil. When you dip bread in oil, it's incredible. Dip it in the oil because I've anointed something for you. So dip the bread in the oil of anointing and trust me and follow me. Expect more. Expect more from God. Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, he says from verse 11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying, even though we as human beings don't always get it right, we know how to give good gifts to our children. We don't give them opposite of what we want. We give them the things that they want in the right and the appropriate time. So how much more should we trust in God to give us not just what we need, but immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine? God has provided daily bread, sustenance, and life. And for that widow, he provided. Why? Because Elijah asked courageously. He asked courageously and God provided. God provided through her act of obedience. But the one thing he really provided wasn't just the bread. He provided death to life for her son. If she hadn't trusted with the bread, I wonder if she'd have ever trusted Elijah with her son's life. And her need is actually the same as ours, the ability to go from death to life. And God has provided that for us in his son, Jesus Christ, who came from highest heaven to lowest earth, that those of us in the lowest could be lifted with him in the highest. Someone once said, the Son of God became the Son of Man, that the sons and daughters of men might become the sons and daughters of God. God came from highest heaven to lowest earth as a baby. He grew up, he lived as a man, he provided people with great miracles. He healed the sick, he cast out demons, he provided a new way and freedom from the religious authorities at the time. But he was falsely put on trial. He was accused and he was crucified and died and spent 3 days in the grave, separated from his Father in heaven. 3 days later, he was risen again, setting us free from death, taking away any guilt and shame that we have in our life and offering us eternal life when we die and life in all its fullness here on the earth. If you're spiritually starving today, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He comes to sustain you and to fill you. How do we get Jesus into our life? How do we get that sustenance in our life? Firstly, ask courageously. Ask the God of the universe to come into your life, to show himself to you, to transform your life. Secondly, follow obediently. Do what he tells you to do. Read his word. Pray to him. Gather together in a church to meet with other people to build one another up. And thirdly, expect more. You may think life is good as it is right now, but let me tell you, life with Jesus is so much more. He offers life in all its fullness. It may not always be easy, but he promises that he will always be with you. Why don't we stand together?